Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today to find ourselves in Christ Jesus. Lord, I pray for each and every person who's come today that they are found in you, not having righteousness by what they have done, but righteousness that is in you, Christ Jesus. I ask that you give the Holy Spirit to us today to teach, to bear witness to the truth of the Son of God, to see clearly and to discern and have knowledge and grace of Jesus Christ. Lord, teach us, we pray, for you are our teacher, and we ask that you would fill us up under the fullness of God. I ask for the baptism with the Holy Spirit for your church. Lord, unto the fullness of you, to go forth and to live our lives fully pleasing you. And this I ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Ephesians 6, 1 through 9 today. Reserve the necessity of, if we live our lives in this world, following Jesus Christ, separated from this world, and we look like oddities to this world, and Satan tries to destroy that, we're going to need the armor. And now the armor should not be new to you, but we'll take that up in that study next week. And so if you really were hoping to get to the armor this week and you came and you wanted that, well, come back next week because you'll need it just as much next week. And if you apply this week's study, you're going to be very thankful to then take up next week's study in the order that the Holy Spirit gives us these things. We're right in the middle of living as children of God. So as you're in Ephesians 6, 1 today, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, I open this up in this section. Go back to Ephesians 5, verse 1, where we are called children of God. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Now, as we've studied marriage and family, and understand how God sent his Son into the world, and out of the side of Jesus, life came to those who believed and received him and born again. And if you hear the context of the way that the Bible describes this, we have an inheritance in Christ Jesus. That's why it works well to understand he's the Son of God, and then through Christ Jesus, by faith, we become children of God. Now, I'm going to offer this up in a very clear context. God loves his children. Right? In fact, the way that John, when he writes his first letter, in 1 John 3, verse 1, it's worth pondering as I introduce this to you today. God has set his love upon you. That means he loves you. Okay? God has set his love upon you. And the way that John says this to the children of God, he says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God. And it has not yet been revealed to us what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Now, I come to chapter 6 in the context of marriage and family, and then we're going to cover what it is to be servants. Listen. Every one of you, if you have faith in Christ Jesus, you're a servant. It's not an option. You know, again, I think of this and the understanding, if I can hand off everything to you today concerning that which I have received in the Word of God, not just, you know, my study this week or not just, you know, what I've got from others. No, from having believed and received the Word of God and then putting it into practice to bear forth fruit unto this righteousness that is in Christ Jesus, that those that would follow after me, again, my children have to bear upon this because they're born into our home. No matter what we did, they're sponges. They're going to be just like us. And so the instructions to the children of God, again, right, if you think this through, the whole thing that you are to receive of God's word is his commandments so that you can hand them off to another and your children will learn absolutely everything from you. Good, bad, and ugly. Right? And that's the way it is. So whatever you do with this information today ultimately is going to be dependent upon how you receive God's word. And if you would receive it as it is God's word, So today has a bit of a warning with this as we enter into this study. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, this is the instruction for the family, and the way that God values this. Find your way to Psalm 127 with me. This is how God values children. Since 1974, there have been over 571,000 live births in the state of North Dakota. We've killed over 15,000 in our state, in the womb. And this is sobering to me because being born again, right? Blood of Jesus' side, cost, you know, God so loved the world, gives his only begotten son. And I've been thinking about this a lot, and in Psalm 127, this is what God's take is on our children. And he puts it into the psalm, unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. And we have something to guard today. We have to guard the Word of God. It's written down. Some of you probably have 20, 40 Bibles at home. And now it's published in a digital format. You can have 20, 40 Bible apps. Now, and as you would guard and keep this, and what are you building for your wife and for your children? These are the instructions. So ecclesia, the church, right? That's the Greek word for church. Those called out of the world. Okay, the world hates you. And again, as I just want to like frame this understanding that Jesus builds his church, and he builds his church by faith as he calls through the gospel being preached, many are called, those that believe and receive are chosen. Many called, few chosen. How do you know you're chosen? Well, I believed and received the gospel. Now, he doesn't take away your volition because you're made in the image of God. So as he initiates, you respond and you receive by grace this salvation that comes through faith in Christ Jesus, and you're born of God, and then he puts his spirit in you and you become a child of God. Now, live like it is really what Paul writes to the Ephesians. Now, here's what God's doing. Psalm 127, verse 2. It is vain for you to rise up early, sit up late, eat the bread of sorrows, for he gives his beloved sleep. Now, you want to know how to get ahead? Rest in God. Right? Even the sparrow, right, has a rest in the nest, if you will. If God can take care of them and they can be at rest and they sleep every night, and again, this instruction from the Word. But I really want to get to verse 3, Psalm 127, verse 3. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. But this idea that children are the reward of the loving relationship between a husband and his wife, and her submitting unto him as unto the Lord, living that out and creating that family of which the family existed before anything else existed concerning any other structure that God ever placed. The church comes after family, if you will. So your understanding of we are those who are called out of the world into faith in Christ Jesus, and that means you are church. And church is made up of families. Okay? And as you receive that, the instruction then for those coming out of the world, because Paul wrote his letter to the church of Ephesus, they were saved out of the world, they were called out of their sin, they were called out of their corruption, darkness, evil. And now they're brought into Christ Jesus, and they're told to follow God. Now, I offer up today, by way of now, a bit of a warning. It was hard to find stats. You cannot find stats anymore after 2022. There's an evil at foot concerning stats, concerning how many babies are actually being killed. They call it telehealth, but you can go into another state to kill your baby. Children are a heritage. What in the world has overcome people that they're killing the fruit of their reward that God gave them? Now, I know there's a breakdown in the family. I'm aware of that. Satan's trying to destroy the whole thing. And I'm not up here just to get irate and say all these things. I'm here to get the Word of God living and powerful, sharp, right into our hearts today. that we will not be like the world, right? We will not live like the world. We will not live like those around us. And we're the children of God. And being children of God, and again, if you think about it, the children of the love of God, this, for me, let's establish a high value upon the fruit of the reward of our lives. They're our children. And establishing that and believing that and trusting that, keep your spot in Ephesians 6. Now find your way to Hebrews 2. And we'll be in Hebrews a couple times today. And if I only get through the family portion of today's study, I'm okay. We can take up the servant portion next week, but I'm ready for both. So Hebrews 2:1. And I want you to see this with me too, so don't shortcut this. We were exhorted and encouraged Wednesday night by gifts of the Holy Spirit to stop holding back. Now, I don't think I hold back, but I'm going to make sure that what I say with you today, I'm not going to hold anything back from you. I'm not going to withhold the Word of God, because this Word of God has been believed upon and received into my life and my wife's life, and we have walked in this. Okay? By the grace of God, this is evident now in our lives. And so I stand up now and I tell you, Word of God works every time. Throw away all your parenting books. Okay? Throw them all away. Right? And come to the Word of God. Now, there are good parenting books that arose out of the Word of God. So you can discern and grow in that knowledge. I'm saying throw away all your parenting books that aren't originated in these commandments. Hebrews 2:1, therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. Okay? Lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bearing witness with both signs and wonders, various miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. Beyond all reasonable doubt, Jesus is Lord. He has come into this world. He's the Son of God. And he taught us. Right? In fact, the instructions given to the apostles as they're going out, and Jesus' last words, Matthew records that Jesus said when he went to heaven was, go therefore into all the world and make disciples of every nation. Okay? Speaking of baptizing them into Jesus Christ, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Don't let anybody come and trip you up over the special name or did you get baptized the right way with the right phrase? Watch out for that. Okay? If you're baptized into Christ Jesus, Romans 6 should solve that for you. I was buried with baptism into his death. Okay? And then I come out, I'm buried with him in baptism, but I also rise with him to the newness of life. And baptism is an answer of being born again, doesn't regenerate you. Even in Jesus' revolution, it was really confusing as I watched that. They almost presented like the water baptism saved the guy. There is no baptismal regeneration. So you can't baptize babies. Well, you can't kill babies in the womb and think that's okay. And then you can't baptize your babies and think that you've saved them. Okay? Now, we come to the Word of God today and take a more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest what? Lest we drift away. Now, Paul warns Timothy in the Scriptures. And I'm going to take this warning a bit. So I didn't expect today was going to come with a warning, but it is. 1 Timothy 3:1. As we put this together, let's see, Hebrews, it's before Hebrews, Thessalonians, Timothy. If your name is Tim, you keep a marker in Timothy all the time, right? And then as you find 1 Timothy 3, go to 2 Timothy 3. Yes, here we go. Now, as children of God, right? As children of God, know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Fierce days will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Well, God loves you, and he calls his children to love him, and then gives us his word. And the warning is this: we're going to be parenting in days when the standard is disobedient to parents. That's the standard in the world. So you have a choice today if you would take the more earnest heed to the things you have heard, lest you drift away. Knowing this, that God is going to reward every disobedience. Now, we're told to be children of faith in contrast to the children of unbelief or the children of disobedience. And I looked up disobey, disobedient, and again, looked it up in Webster's 1828 dictionary. Because if you look up now online, you can make a word say whatever you want to make it say. Things are drifting, as it were. So we need to take the more earnest heed unto the things we have heard. Where did we hear them? From the Son of God. That's what Hebrews is saying. God spoke to us by his Son, and the Son of God has given us an understanding that he is true, and that his Father, God, is the living God, and he's the only true living God. And I'll say unto you, I have found in him that he is true, and his word has all the answers for life and godliness. Today, if I could be compelling over this phrase, disobedient, that I looked up, and it comes in two ways, either through rebellion or neglect. Having heard what God said, but rebelled against the commandments, and the Bible's filled with examples of disobedience. Korah, Balaam, right? Dathan and Abiram. It's filled up with Ananias, Sapphira examples. Children of disobedience. Heard, but did not do. So the commandment comes to us now, and parents, I want you to take heart to this. As children of God, bring your children up in the ways of the Lord. And in doing so, it begins with establishing in your family that we obey God. Dads, that's your job. You obey God. I've heard what God has said. By faith and by the grace of God, I will do what God has said to me. So I read my Bible now in a very particular way. And that very particular way is with a heart of obedience, because either through rebellion or neglect, that's how disobedience comes. The only way that obedience actually comes is by hearing and then putting it into practice and doing it. I don't really have much interest today in sharing the Word of God with you concerning fathers, right, and mothers, the parents, and the family, and how the children are to obey mom and dad. I have not much interest in just giving you another Bible study if you don't want to listen to it. I have great resources that I use all the time as I'm preparing people, and I give those resources to teach and instruct in the Word of God. What I'm most interested in today is securing your obedience. So that's why this comes with a warning today, that you would hear very clearly that there is a just reward for every disobedience. Therefore, by neglect or rebellion, children of God look a lot like the children of the world. And this is my warning to us. Now, on to the receiving of God's word in Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is righteousness. Okay? This is righteousness. Now, the word therefore obey is to hear and to do. Hearken and obey. Hear and obey. Right? I heard this, I did it. Now, as I brought my children up in the training and admonition of the Lord, I applied Ephesians 6:4, and we'll be back to 2 and 3, but if you look at 4, fathers, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Having received that in a particular way, and then I wanted to understand, because the children born to you don't know anything except how to sin. It's just in there, just like it's in you. So if you think that your child comes out, right, and if I just don't mess up their lives, things are going to be okay, you're missing the instructions of Scripture. Being born into sin, and therefore all of us born into sin, needing to be saved, okay, and describing this understanding, I needed to bring my children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I didn't look at my wife and say, what do we do? Okay? So it starts with last week's study, right? So if the mom's leading the family and there is a dad there, you need to start with repentance and I will work with you to get your marriage in order. Okay? Now, if there is no dad, okay, you need help. Right? If there is no dad and you're raising and you're a single mom, okay, all kinds of help, all kinds of instruction, all kinds of mercy and grace, everything we can do to help you in that case have to overcome that which is lacking. How many of you in here were raised by a single mom? Or a single parent, I guess, for that matter. Right? Could be mom or dad, and that happens. A lot of other places you put that up and you would have three-fourths of the room put their arms up. The dads are gone. Now, again, I'm not irate. None of this is in anger. But and I look at that number. We've killed over 15,000 of our babies in a low population state. And don't comfort yourself, we're better than other states. Okay? And I come to this. If children are a heritage from the Lord, and then I was saved from sin, hell, and death, and then children, my children who were born to me, and then I'm to bring them up in this particular way. And so here's what I offer up to you. Secure obedience. They don't know the commandment that's given unto them until their parents teach them the commandment that's given unto them, that they might learn to obey the commandment, the one commandment they've been given them. Now, if this word is applied for adults, the word there for obey, then the adult has to curb their own desires and bring themselves unto a submitting unto the commandment another gave them that they could hear it and do it. Now, my thought on this is Abundant Church, again, you think of together with me how we've put Colossians 3 in front of us, to be abundant in obedience. Now, straight up honest with you, I love obedience. Okay? Peter doesn't because he's leaving. But I do. Right? I'd teach him to walk out in the middle of this. Right? I love obedience. Now, here's my plea. Right? So, as Paul's writing to this to the church of Jesus, the ecclesia, he uses all of the word of God and he takes it all the way back to that which is written by God on the stone. Again, the first of the six commandments that deal with your relationships with others, the first four between you and God on the one tablet, and on the other tablet, the six that are the commandments in regards to your relationship with others. And where does God start? He starts with the family and he starts with honor thy father and thy mother, first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. Now, I don't know if you took those two verses out of your Bible and you take them out here and then you got to take them out in Exodus 20. You got to take them out of Deuteronomy 5. You got to take them out of three places and then you got to take them out of the other places and all of a sudden you got Swiss cheese because there's so many holes. But I offer up to you in this way my plea and appeal to you, right? Parents, teach your children to obey you in all things. Okay? Teach them to hear you and to do what you say. Now, this is sobering for me because having received that word, and when I say the word is life and death, I meant that. I received this commandment and I took it to heart. It fell on good soil in my heart. And I received this from the Lord, and I said, yes, Lord. I will teach my children to obey you. And you've given them to us, and you told them to obey everything we command them to do. And therefore, having taken that to heart, by the grace of God, I'm going to do it the best I can. Because God loves children. Now, with that, I learned from Pastor Jimmy O'Keefe a great way to apply in order to communicate to my children what obedience is. Is that is to obey mom and dad immediately, completely, and joyfully. And to put that into practice, not just sometimers. See, this is an all-the-time thing. Now, my intent today is not to rebuke anybody, but that you could all be admonished by the Word of God and you could really consider the importance of this. Therefore, that you would give your life to accomplish it. Okay? So, if I go before you and I don't bring my children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and I stand up and tell you to do it, it means nothing. What good is an influencer on the internet? It's worth absolutely zero. Life hacks, influencers, but it's all appealing to the self-love. But if you receive the Word of God into your heart and you become a doer of God's Word, and because you're a lover of God and not a lover of this world, being a lover of God, then you love God's commandments. Abide in me, abide in my love, abide in my commandments. I want to do what God has said to me. And there's no greater reward in place in the area of your own house as you build it, as you establish husband and wife and children, and teach your children. How do children honor their mother and father? By hearing what they say and putting it into practice. So I worked on this, and again, I would encourage all of you, work at it. Okay? This will be the hardest thing you ever do, because you take little sinners just like you, and you know your own bent to not listen to what God says, and then they got it, and they haven't even been taught anything yet, and they're not just going to listen to you. So, remember that. Every disobedience has a just reward. Every sin and disobedience has a just reward. So you have to teach your children, who are commanded to obey you in all things, who are to obey immediately, completely, and joyfully. When they disobey, they need to learn obedience by the things that they suffer. That it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. Psalm 128, verse 4, promise. Right, again, think of this, I'm in 127, unless the Lord builds a house, I labor in vain who build it. Children are a heritage from the Lord. What does that heritage look like? The next psalm describes a man at his table with his wife and his children all around them, like an olive tree and then the branches. It speaks of a fruitful family. That it may go well with thee, live long on the earth. Commandment with promise. Okay. And you can look up and study all the Ten Commandments. This is the commandment with the promise that if you bring your children up unto obedience, this thing turns around and blesses you. In fact, it will produce the future you're really hoping and wishing is going to happen for you, that it may be well with thee, thou mayest live long on earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. And this is out of neglect, laziness, anger. Fathers, you're commanded to really get the sin out of your own life so you don't hand it off to your children. What good does an angry father do to a child? Right? Or worse yet, a Christian man who won't crucify his own flesh but then insists that his children would be perfect and ruling over their flesh. I don't know why you'd want to lie to me like that when they hear dad lying to their boss when he picks up the phone. Yeah, I'm not feeling well today. That's why I'm not coming in. Now, with a serious tone, but not again, not an irate, angry, but more of a plea from my heart to you. How can I convince you in your home to receive God's word and what he commands you to do that you could be a child of God who hears what your Father in heaven says to you and you do it so that your children have no problem in their father relationship, and then, oh, I get obedient. Oh, that's God's. Oh, here's his commands. I have a peaceable fruit of righteousness. because I've been trained. You fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up. Again, the bring them up, even in that word, you know, your upbringing, but it actually means something, right? It means that you've been nurtured. If you have a plant, and it's a little plant, and it's a tender shoot, you treat that plant in its state to be protected from the environment. You don't put a tender plant out in the North Dakota wind, right? You take care of that little plant, and you might even have to stabilize that little plant so it can stand and it can start to grow in the right way. And you might have to correct its direction. Okay, that's the word to bring up. It's a nurture term. The with nurture. So I'm going to start here with you fathers. It does not say mom. It says ye fathers. Okay? I'm not going to stand before God and say, it's the wife you gave me. I'm not going to pull that like the first man did. Okay? No, it says ye fathers. I'm not going to look at my wife and say, whatever you want to do with the kids, honey, that's fine with me. I bring home the paycheck. After that, whatever you want to do. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So this has with it the nurture. And in there, in your notes, right? Everything they're going to need. Okay? Everything they're going to need. Now, have you learned from history that if you assign that to another, that's a sin? Okay. Even if you put someone into a place called school, you're still not handing over their nurture to the school. Likewise, if you think church is going to be able to nurture your kids to a living relationship with God, you're like James describes, one who looks at himself in the mirror, forgets what he looks like, deceiving himself. Huh, I thought church would be all that we needed. I thought if we were around other Christians, that would work for our kids. But you guys wouldn't think like this. Okay? So today, if you can receive the word of God, the commandment into your heart, two, bring them up in the nurture. So if your child needs, right, to learn how to read, they need to learn how to walk, or that begins like I did, they need to learn how to hear my voice, call their name, and look at me. And when they looked at me, I was smiling from ear to ear because it's a joy to obey. And I put it into them. They didn't even know I put it into them because they were goo goo gaga. Before their words, the love and obedience is already flowing. Now, did you not find this out when you get saved and you find out, wow, God's been loving me a lot longer than I was saved. Oh, I see his hand back there. Oh, God loves me. Now, here's the good news today. When God loves you, he corrects you when you get out of the way. So this nurture, what do your children need? Okay. Do you understand the world that they live in? Do you understand they need to be kept from this world? Okay. They need to be in the world, but not of the world, and they need to have truth. And again, I don't have to spell it out for you. But if you do nothing, you absolutely sin and fail. Through neglect, you teach your children how to be disobedient children. Because now the second word, admonition, has with it chastening. The instrumentation that God has given unto you, both to use your words, to bring them, right? Again, so first and foremost, understand what admonition is. When they are disobeying you, it's your responsibility through admonition to bring them unto obedience. Okay? Now, I am not your dad in church. I'm not a foster dad. I'm not a foster mom to you, right? Okay? The father, mother, God concept in it, blah, 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 blah. A bunch of lies. God is our father, and a father will do something that a mother will never do. You get stuck on the nurture part, but fathers are to have a nurturing heart too. Okay, so that means you cannot, if you're going to exasperate, if you think you got to raise your boys to be tough, you miss it. You'll teach them how to rebel and disobey, and they'll see your anger, because then if you're training them, you're telling them anger's okay, and then they're going to be angry, and you're going to scratch your head. Where'd they get that from? Okay. Nurture and admonition. This is everything that they need from all of the care from, again, that young plant, tender little shoot coming out of the ground, and I got to protect it, and I got to keep it. And there's just, you have to protect and keep from everything that would destroy that little plant. And then you got to nurture it and water it and give it food, and then it's got to grow. And then when it disobeys through suffering, they have to learn obedience. Find your way to Hebrews 12, which actually quotes Proverbs 3. I could talk for days on this stuff. Hebrews 12. So yes, as a Christian dad, contrary to all of the experts deceiving lies, philosophies, books, psychologies, whatever that is, you need to chasten your children when they disobey you. And not just once in a while. So if you're not using the rod of correction, I don't know what you're following. You're not following the Word of God. Okay? I wouldn't want to build my house on the sand. I don't want to come to the teenage years only to have my kids rebel. I don't know if any of you take that stance. I refused rebellion, because rebellion is as witchcraft, and rebellion will take away that blessing and promise of it'll go well with you. Okay, now Hebrews 12. Again, I could talk for days, hours. Hebrews 12:3. Consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself. Now, who are we considering? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who, it's written of him, obeyed his Father immediately, completely, and joyfully. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Yes, Father, I will obey. Even though he was a son, he learned obedience through the things he suffered. Understood. I'm going to the cross. Yes, Lord. Now, when you take this to heart, what it is that Jesus has shown us to be a son, consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. So now, once again, you come into church and you look up and you find mercy, and there's a throne of grace, and you call out to God to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So if you thought I was just going to rail on you, dads and moms, quite the opposite. This is what I know. I know that as a sinner saved by the grace of God, and all my own disobedience myself would have been passed on right to my children unless I would have taken heed unto God's word. And I convinced my wife to be exactly with me in it, and she carried out my instructions. Wonderful helpmate. Okay? What a wickedness it is when you establish all that, and then your wife doesn't follow your instructions while you're away at work and doing other things. Now, we know what that's like when we would travel and go to Israel and our kids were away from us for 2 weeks and they come back to us royalty-free. It took us a lot of time to overcome the time frame in which they weren't chastened when they were really little. Now, here's the instructions. Consider him endured such hostility from sinners against yourself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. I am here today to give you the word of God and remind you not to be discouraged or grow weary in this area. This is the one that returns a reward. And yes, your children don't want to listen to you. Don't be surprised when they don't want to listen to you, and then don't convince yourself that they are listening to you when they're not. Oh, that's okay, little Billy. You didn't really want to do that. Billy, 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 I'm going to count to five. Billy, I'm going to count to three, to two and a half, two and three. Okay. If you're weary and discouraged, consider Jesus, where he says, you have not yet resisted the bloodshed, striving against sin. Now, life and death, right? Jesus, life or death to bring about obedience to God. He dies to bring forth life to us. We receive the life freely. Having received his life, my plea to you is, if he can obey at the cross, I certainly can obey in my family. And you've forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. Okay, this is quoting Proverb 3:11. So if you read a proverb a day, the third of every month, you're always reading this. Always getting it into your heart. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. So one of our rules in the Wetter household was receive correction willingly from the Lord. So you have to teach them to not despise correction when correction hurts the bottom. And by the way, it's a great spot. God, I think God made the bottom for correction. There's nothing vital that goes through there in any way, shape, or form. No nerves, no bones, just a nice little, sensitive skin surface to help them learn obedience. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? Well, I can name a bunch of them now. That's how I know it's the last days, because disobedient to parents is the norm. But if you are without chastening, of which all of you become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. And that's where the King James word should get through to your heart, bastards. It's what they use there. Now, it became a cuss word, but I'm not using it as that. And illegitimate, God loves you. What will he do in your life? When you disobey him, he will chasten you. Now listen up, okay? Yeah, I'm talking to the adults in the room, and again, but because of the way we do youth, right? Out of children's ministry by 13, so you have 13 to 15. The 13 to 15, so you might be in here still as a child, and then we believe that 13 to 15-year-olds can also receive in the same teaching as the adults. And so there can be a children in the room that now I can exhort the children to what? Even at this age now, to obey mom and dad immediately, completely, and joyfully. Through rebellion or neglect, you'll never receive the blessings. Okay? If you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you're illegitimate and not sons. So if you haven't been corrected well by your parents, forgive them. If you had a lousy dad, forgive him. Even if he died already, forgive him. Okay? Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father's spirits and live? They indeed for a few days chasten us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now I want to get to Hebrews 12:11, and you can make this your verse today. No chastening seems to be joyful for the present. If your children are not repenting by the chastening, you are not chastening. You're encouraging them to continue to disobey you. Therefore, if there is no repentance, that meant the chastening didn't accomplish what it needed to accomplish. Because it says it's to not be joyful, but painful. Now, in God's wisdom, right, he gives the father the charge to take his child, whom mom has been nurturing in the womb and out of the womb and nursing and caring for. I know why God gave the command to the dad, because if it was up to the mom, she would say, don't you dare. Don't you dare put pain on his bottom. That's my little boy. That's little Billy. You're going to wreck him. See, these are all the lies of the enemy. But you know what a man has to do? He has to know himself, how he was chastened by the Lord and corrected, and how the Word of God corrected him, and how he had to repent, and how he had to get sin out of his own life. And then when he has children, and now he's saved in the Lord, and how much sin would destroy him. And if he doesn't address the sin in his life, it's going to kill him. So I can't let sin in my children's life, because it's going to kill them. Therefore, if I don't get this when it's little, I'll be dealing with a bigger problem later. A man thinks like that. So a man is willing. You ask Abraham by faith to receive that commandment. Take your only son whom you love and go to the mountain that I show you and offer your son. Now, God's foreshadowing this. But what's God really showing us? That he had to bring suffering upon his son in order to save us from sin. And now you, having received that by grace, all he's asking you is to do what? Teach your children. That's all he's asking you. Make sure they know by faith the way that I am. And the way that you tell them the way that I am is you correct their disobedience. And it must be painful, or else you're not going to teach them obedience. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Under that word admonition is the chastening. So back to Ephesians 6:4. Do you guys want the shortened down version of serving, or do you want the long version next week of serving?
Long version.
I want the long version. So now I get to say more things to us. Stop saying you love the Word of God if you don't. You know how deceiving that is? Because when you say you love the Word of God, what are you saying? I do the Word of God. I love God, therefore I obey Him. I abide in Christ, therefore I hear what He says. This is the way He presents it. Now I'm going to talk to you about your walk, walking in His ways. It's been this way from the beginning, right? Adam and Eve walked with God in the garden in the cool of the day. Enoch walked with God, and then he gets raptured. Abraham, right, at the end of his days, walk before me and be blameless. Job walked with God. Have you considered Job? There's no man like him in all the earth who's like this. Now you take all the apostles, what did Jesus do? He says, come, follow me. And he taught them to follow his ways. Now, here we are, receiving the instructions given to the church. Why do I like Ephesians? Because Paul instructed the church everywhere, but he wrote it down to the Ephesians. This isn't just some part of, well, it's only two chapters. You're only giving me four verses today. Listen, for me, this is not optional. If I can say I love God, then I love every verse of the Bible. And therefore, as I receive that into my heart, and this is my compelling thing to you, I have gone before you, church, in these verses. Just as I've gone before you, and my wife and I together have gone before you in marriage and family, and our lives are in the fishbowl, and you can see all of this. Some of you come along now, and you see our children who have been raised to adulthood at age 16, meaning they were no longer under children obey your parents in all things. But we brought them to that so that we could hand them off to the Lord. And from that point forward, that's them between them and God. We don't come to them and say, you got to listen to everything I say. Some parents don't know when to stop parenting. They think they're going to parent. You got to listen to me, son, boy. You got to do it this way. It doesn't work like that. That's contrary to Scripture, because you're to stop being a child and you're to grow up and then you're to be an adult. And in that, again, a boy needs to become a man. And then as I hand this off, these verses we've done, it's before you, and now it's evident. And I could care less what you think about it, because I didn't do it for any of you. Now, do you hear this stance? But I offered up to you in that context of, I love the Word of God. I love these verses. Our children are a heritage to us, right? And I would offer up to you, if you think upon what I say to you today, I want you just to simply believe it this way, that He taught us how to do the Word of God, not just teaching the Scriptures, but by doing it. And then He imparted the understanding with it also. Now, all of my children could teach a parenting class. And they could teach some of you parents how to parent because they've been brought up and trained in that righteousness. And they would probably look at your lives and say, just get one thing right. And I won't put words into their mouth, but I know what it is. Bring obedience. Obey mom and dad immediately, completely, joyfully. Much easier to deal with the rebellion that every child has, much easier to deal with it between 1.5 and 2.5 rather than at 12 through, what is the world now? 12 through 25? I know the government thinks they're still children at 24. Satan loves getting your children to sin from a young age. Presenting that grown-up things involve grown-up sinful things long before they're ever with understanding of this sin could destroy, mean my sin at 12 could destroy my life? Yeah. Now, before I just go off record here and ad-lib everything, because I know the Holy Spirit has laid upon me the importance that you would all know the Word of God. But I can't leave it with whatever you do with that is solely holy, totally dependent upon you, even though that's true. Because I'm not teaching this to you as a influencer on the internet, hoping that you will send me all your likes on today's teaching. Now, some of you will do that just because you like to mess with me. Oh, look at. No, my plea is this, that you would have the life that God has for you. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he shall also reap. If you sow to the flesh you reap corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, of the Spirit you reap everlasting life. I make no shame about it that we chastened our children when they disobeyed us. And some of you may not know this, but I can see, and if you're thinking, well, if we just go to church with the pastor and he's got this, our kids will be like that too. God never gives that to us in the Scripture. He actually gives us the command. And this is what I would say to you. Teach your children their names. Because some of your kids don't know their names. Because when you call their name, they ignore you. Huh. So when God calls your name, what do you do to God? Is that you, God? Oh, that wasn't my name. See, and this is my plea to all of you. This is the area that returns a blessing. If you will teach your children to hear your voice and do what you say, you will be blessed immensely in this course in life going forward. So God has a just reward for obedience. Therefore, when your children obey, so just so you know, our method was love outweighs chastening 5-1. So if you leave this study, spanking's the answer for everything, you'd totally miss it. You'd say, where's the nurture part? So nurture and admonition, nurture is 5 times more in our family. Affection, love, nurture, care is 5 times more than chastening and admonition. So the peaceable fruit of righteousness by those who've been trained by it, I guess I'll have to pay royalties somehow on this because I put you guys in the fishbowl too. Well, then I'm going to get my money's worth. Send it. Go over. You guys like tuna salad sandwiches? Carne asada?
Yes.
No. There you go. No. So, if I'm your pastor, right? So, out of that whole influencer realm, and if you recognize that God has given me to you as a gift to edify you and build you up and to teach the word and again to do the word and to be in your life, then you can call me pastor. But it's not a title for me. It's a relationship. And with that, I hold this very dear. Likewise, the love that I have for my wife, I believe is evident. And the love that I have for my children, I believe, is evident. And the love that I have for the sheep in God's flock, I believe it's evident. And if you can see those things and you can receive those things and you, and I've been pleading with us to be one, and now I'm pleading with us to be obedient, and I would like to talk to you fathers about bringing your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Bring them to obedience. Do all that before you run off and do any ministry. Right? Do all of that before, I'm going to go do these great things for the Lord. How's God going to look at this from that perspective? Say, in your home, you didn't love your wife, you didn't bring your children up to obedience, but I did all these great things for you. I shared the gospel 364 and a half days of the year. And this is my plea. Marriage and family returns a great reward. Sin will kill every relationship you have on the earth. And if you teach your children that sinning is okay, you'll never get them back. But if you bring them up in the way they should go, when they're old, they will not depart. And that's the promise. So Heavenly Father, I pray for your people today that they can put up with me, that they can receive your word. You guys know that was sarcasm, right? Put up with me? You better love me. I'm serious about that. If you read today's proverb, and because if I come and correct you and you don't love me and you're just putting up with me, you'll leave church. I've had people leave because I corrected them. So that's sarcasm. I guess I shouldn't pray in sarcasm without having to explain it. You're commanded to love the one who teaches and corrects, admonishes, and instructs. And I've been given the charge to convince, exhort, rebuke with all longsuffering and teaching. And I've under a command to give myself in agape love to you as the pastor of the church. So do you love obedience or just love the idea? So Heavenly Father, I pray for your people that they would receive your word and that they would love you. And they would love your word and they would receive your word, and that we would be your church, and we would have obedient children, we'd have fruitful lives, Lord, we'd be abundant in all that you call us and give us to do. And we ask your blessing upon the families. Lord, I see the work. I see the steps. Lord, I ask that you would sharpen, as it were today, Lord, the word of God by the sword of the Spirit into our hearts to see to it from today forward our children obey, and that you would bless the families for that obedience. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.